Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Inside the Studio on iHeartRadio. My name's Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. It's difficult not to get hyperbolic when discussing my guest today. He first exploded onto the world stage with a star-making set at a little gig called Woodstock in 1969. In the half-century since, he's redefined the electric guitar with a mix of virtuosity and spirituality. Songs like Evil Ways, Oi Como Va, Soul Sacrifice, and Europa melded Latin melodies, jazz sensibilities, and rock soul in a way that no one had before, and for my money, no one has since. His eclectic career got a boost at the turn of the millennium with Supernatural and Shaman, back-to-back albums that paired him with a diverse blend of contemporary artists. Now he's back with a new album that's equally packed with friends. On Blessings and Miracles, he joins forces with icons like Steve Winwood, Kirk Hammett of Metallica, jazz great Chick Corea, legendary songwriter Diane Warren, as well as fresh faces like Ali Brook, G-Eazy, and Chris Stapleton. Among the many standout tracks is Move, the album's lead single, which sees him pair with Rob Thomas for the first time on record since their ubiquitous and immortal 1999 smash Smooth. I'm so happy to welcome the great Carlos Santana. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Oh my goodness, I have so many things I want to talk to you about, but first off, we got to kick off with Blessings and Miracles. I am such a huge fan. It is such an amazing album, filled with such a cool, diverse group of artists. I mean, from G-Eazy to Chris Stapleton to your old friend Rob Thomas. I just wanted to start, how did this begin for you?
It began, probably when I did 49 songs in 10 days with Rick Rubin. And they were all African songs. And a lot of them we did, they went on the album called Africa Speaks with Buika. But then some of them, they went on Limbo. And I grabbed three of those, which is like America for Sale, Peace Power, and Mother Yes. And I put them in here. So, but they, we morphed them, you know, we like everything, like a tree that keeps expanding, you know. I submitted a request to God, sweet baby Jesus, the universe, whatever you want to call it, but call it, you know. And so I submitted a request. I said, you know, when we did Africa Speaks, I knew there was not a single within 10,000 miles, you know. But it was okay. And so I said, now I want to do something different. I want to do something more like what we did with Supernatural. So I requested in the office, a think tank within people who work with me, give me the names of those sisters and brothers who have their finger in the pulse, they can get on the radio. And they said, oh, they mentioned, you know, some here, there, about 12 of them. One of them was Chris Stapleton. And I said, oh, and they go, but he plays, you know, country music. I says, it's okay. You know, I can learn how to play country music. So I says, why don't we call his manager and ask him if he would be so gracious to ask Chris if he would have eyes to write a song for us or with us. You know, and that's how it started. You can put all this in a package that divine intelligence was orchestrating all of this to happen. Now, 65% of the artists I have yet to meet in person or shake hands in person.
Wow.
So, because we're living in this era now of, you know, when I started, it was records, and then there was like 8-tracks and cassettes and CDs. And now we Zoom, you know, and we stream. And so because of Zoom and streaming, we were able to be in London or Kauai, or Los Angeles, or San Rafael, and do it all, and you close your eyes, and you're right there anyway with them, you know, when you play.
That wasn't tough for you, not to have that in-person, you know, feeding off each other's energy? That wasn't an issue?
No, because I was born with a really highly developed, intense imagination. So I can imagine them right next to me. I just close my eyes, and I hear the music, and I know where to play and where, you know, how much passion, intensity, and fire to put on each note.
There was a interview you gave recently where you were saying, you were talking about how all of your playing and all of your solo starts with your breath and your breathing. I wanted to ask you more about that because that's so fascinating to me.
Yes, you know, I think if there was I don't know if they do this already at Juilliard School or any school of music, the first lesson should be how to breathe correctly. You know, how to be conscious of your next breath. Because that's where you find your identity, your uniqueness, your authenticity, and your fingerprints, you know, sound-wise. A lot of people sound like a lot of people. Very few people sound like themselves. Uh-huh. You know? And that's because they don't know how to breathe correctly. Ha!
How did you discover this? Who, did you have somebody impart this to you, or just from years of doing it?
My father and my mother taught me how to feel it, how to own it, how to be present and lucid in the first note in this moment in time. You know, I would say, you know, first is God always, you know, as well my mother and father, my father and mother, they were supremely instrumental in teaching me to have conviction and charisma and deep awareness of confidence.
Well, speaking of music being a family affair, I know you have some family on this record. You have your partner, Cindy, and your children, Stella and Salvador, both on it as well. It must be so fulfilling to have that kind of bond with your children. I mean, how did they wind up on this record?
Again, Divine Intelligence, you know, sets up this. I heard this song kind of floating up in the ether, you know, and I said, oh, this is the second time I heard that kind of sort of. I'm going to Shazam it and see who that is, you know? So I Shazam it, and my son's face appears, and I go, whoa!
Whoa!
And I go, so I call him, hey, Salvador, I says, you know, I found out that this is your song. I can't stop playing it for the last 2 days. I wonder if it's okay if I can put my guitar in the rest of the band in there and put it on my album. And then I swear, I hear deep, deep silence. Like, all of a sudden I hear, are you kidding? Like, no, I'm not kidding, man. Please, you know, can you? Okay, you know, and so we talk about it, you know. Same thing with my daughter, you know, she sent me this song and I couldn't stop playing it. It just sounded like, I've been to Europe since 1970, and it sounded like I was in Switzerland or somewhere in Europe, 6 o'clock in the morning, walking the streets, and it's just so haunting. So again, I said, sweetheart, I can't stop playing your song over and over. I looped it, and I want to know if it's all right for me to put my guitar in it and put it on my album. Again, deep, deep silence. And then I hear, are you kidding? I'm like, no, I'm not kidding. I wouldn't kid like that. So, you know, that's how it happened. There's Divine Intelligence who orchestrates for all of this components, including personal family, to present themselves in such a way that it's like a divine buffet, and just have fun gorging yourself with delightfulness.
That must be so cool, just to be able to, as a parent, to have the music of your child be able to move you in that way. I mean, I'm not a parent and I've never written a song in my life, but I just imagine that must be such a fulfilling thing to know that lives on. You've passed that on, you've given that gift to them, and they're paying it back to you, and now you're all paying it back to all of us fans listening.
Yes, we decided a long time ago by recognition that for us, it's not a job, a gift, or a profession. It's a way of life, you know, from my father to his father's father, you know, same thing with my son, you know. So we honor that it's a way of life to kind of like someone who sells faucets, but the water is the same. People are thirsty.
Yeah. You know,
just, you know, every album is different facets, you know, but the water's got to be pure. It's got to be good for you, clean, fresh and pure. And that's how I see music, like pretty much like Bruce Lee said, become water, be water.
Yeah. You know? What is the best thing that someone who hears a song of yours can say to you to thank you? What's the best way? What's
something that somebody can say to you that makes it all worthwhile with you know, their gratitude and their appreciation? Is there one response that you're looking for when you play a song for someone?
When people say, your music touched me in a place I never been touched before, I was contemplating with intensity to commit suicide. And the melody of Europa or Sound of Fatigue took me into a place outside my misery, and I was able to I was able to smile and cry at the same time. And I knew that I was meaningful and magnificent, and I was worthy of my own grace and my own light. And I can, and I too can participate in life as a triumph, victory, glory, not as a victim. So they stop thinking like victims. It's really what it is, you know. So the music pulls people out of their mental arrangement that you're not happy unless you're miserable. Yeah. That's the best thing that people ever said to me, that music, and I hear a lot, you know, especially nowadays, there's a lot of people committing suicide, especially youngsters, you know.
Yeah.
So this music, especially this song with Ali Brooke, if you listen to the lyrics, that's exactly what about. This is a poster song for anti-suicide. You know, if you get to the other side of suicide, you will see that you are an archangel and you can create miracles and blessings at a whole other level beyond your mind's comprehension.
What is it about music that makes it such an effective medium for transmitting energy and positivity and strength and emotion?
Sound resonance vibration assaults all your senses. It transmogrifies molecular structure. It gives you chills. Your hair stands up. Tears start coming out. And you start dancing and you don't even know why, you know? And so music is kind of like the left and right hand of God sculpturing you to remember who you really, really are, not what indoctrination or world programmation is, but actually being liberated from all that and for you to remember and claim you are light, spirit, and soul. Those elements that are in you and you are, they're indestructible and immutable. You know, that's why music is so powerful, because it reminds you. I was making a joke about Beethoven. Ba-da-da-da. You know, get out of your way. Let God do it through you, you know.
I love that.
You know, that's really what it is, man. Ba-da-da-da. You know, like, what? You know, there's something about the inner voice when, with clarity, it tells you or invites you to stop investing emotionally on stupid stuff that is very limited, you know. And accept your totality, your absoluteness, and shine and soar, yeah?
That's been a lot, hard for a lot of people to do in the last 18 months, just with everything going on in the world. How have you been able to sort of stay grounded and keep an equilibrium throughout the last year and a half?
Well, it's like passing through a movie theater and not going in it and not watching that movie. Pretty much.
That's incredible.
You know, it's my choice. I mean, you can turn off the TV and only watch basketball or only watch, you know, excellence, brilliance, you know, read books. They remind you of, you know, divine modus operandum code of conduct, you know? and so, you know, there's very tried and true tested things that you can do to not invest emotionally on stupid stuff that's going to hurt you and delay your date with divine destiny every day, you know?
I read that you've been reading Joseph Murphy, the New Thought Minister, who's written positive thinking books like Positive Mental Attitude. Who else have you been reading lately in lockdown?
It's always Course in Miracles, the Urantha. You know, I take certain passages from the Bible that are not laced with Godzilla. You know, if it's Godzilla, then you can keep that, you know. My God is light, love, compassion. And anything that's promoting selling fear, that's Godzilla. And I don't, you know, I respect it, honor it, but I leave it alone because it's not for me. I love when Jesus says, God made you in his own image. And so if you make the effort, you know, I love this, how someone said that if you take one step, God takes 99 to meet you in the middle.
I like that. I like that a lot. I've never heard that.
You know, that's what's happening. If people would only knew that, they wouldn't suicide as much. They wouldn't yield to hurtful things, you know? And so that's what I'm here, man. I'm here to promote blessings and miracles from the point of elevating people to recognize the value of their own gift, which is light and love.
And the blessings and miracles are within all of us.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that title really resonated with me. I wanted to ask you more about how you landed on that, because that sense really imbues the record, what you just said. I mean, it really sort of is kind of shines a light on all of us to remind us that, you know, we are divine and that we are able to have control over our own happiness and our own, you know, on a day-to-day basis. But I want to ask you more about where that those words came from for you.
Thank you for saying that. I say as much as possible that heaven and happiness are not a destination or a condition. It's a conscious choice daily, you know, so you, and the old thing people used to say, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. You know, they used to say that. And we say now, I am more alive than ever. And I'm in heaven and I'm higher than an astronaut. But how about that?
Yeah. I mean, when you're playing, when you're making your music and when you're sharing your gifts, what do you need to do anything special to get to that space? Are there any kind of practices that you do? Are there any kind of almost, I hesitate to call them superstitions, but is there something that you need to do to get yourself to that mental space to be able to play? Or is it really just something that you can key in and out of?
You're asking all the supreme questions. Everyone has a ritual. Every single human being has a ritual, whether you're a housewife taking the kids to a soccer practice, or the Pope, or, you know, or the basketball players, everybody has a ritual. And so I was telling people, you know why people need a ritual? Because it's a way to media up, Wi-Fi, hook up to absoluteness and totality, you know? And what you're asking about, when you take a solo, and then after the solo, like what I did with Sound Pachi, my headphones were like this. And it, you know, they ended up in my forehead and in the back of my head because I was moving around. But I didn't stop. And so I had, because I was more conscious of not having the headphones fall off of me, I wasn't thinking about the song. And my fingers just did it, you know? So when the song was fading out, everybody in the studio, their mouth was open and they were going, dang. Wait till you hear what you did, man. And I'm like, was it good? You know? Because to enter the state of grace, you cannot remember it after you do it. If you do, probably not that good, you know? So we invite people to learn, like you learn scales or chords or theory, and learn how to get in it, how to get into that state of grace as they say nowadays, in an organic way. Whatever that is to you.
Oh, man, you hear it again and again on this album. I mean, so many incredible tracks. I mean, I loved your work with Kirk Hammett on America for Sale. That's such an amazing song. Yeah, I heard a story. I don't know if this is true. Did he bring Greeny? Did he bring Pretty Green's guitar?
Yeah, you know, Greeny and I, you know, we go back to 69 and 70 when Peter Green used to come over and hang out with us, you know. And he let me touch it, you know, once in a while. He let me smell it and touch it, you know. And I knew that guitar was like a Merlin's, what do you call it?
Excalibur, yeah.
Yeah.
The sword.
Yeah, exactly, you know. Yeah, he brought it. Let me play it again. And, you know, I miss Peter Green so much and Michael Bloomfield so much. And, of course, the one where we all got it from, which is B.B. King. You know, he said he's the one that created the template, you know, B.B. King and Albert King and Freddie King, you know, all the kings, you know. So anyway, being with Kirk, and we were having fun because I said this to Eric Clapton one time when we did a Supernatural. I said, hey, man, we're just gonna have a conversation, all right? We're not gonna do dueling banjos. And he started cracking up. He goes, dueling banjos? Because I never heard that before. He goes, you're right. We're not gonna do dueling banjos, man. We're gonna have a conversation. You know, so it's the same thing with Kirk and I. Kirk came out smoking, man. He came out like a gunslinger, man. I was like, oh shit. You know. So I had to square myself up, you know, and keep up with this youngster, you know, because the stuff that he was putting down was very vibrant, very, very, you know, very fiery. So we had a ball, you know, and especially, you know, Mark, I said, well, listen, we were going to call this other artist. I won't tell you who because I don't want to get him in trouble. But he couldn't do it or he didn't want to do it or whatever. So I said, Kirk, do you know anybody who can sing this song? Because the one that we called, he, for some reason, he's not calling back. And he goes, yeah, I got just the right guy. And it's a good friend of mine. So it was Marcus Aguirre. And, you know, I wanted something like, because I love Metallica and AC/DC, you know, I like that kind of energy and Led Zeppelin, you know. And I want that kind of, yeah, you know, that kind of bang, you know. And so after Marcus Aguirre sang the first layer, you know, like America for Sale. So I go, hey man, can you sing it higher and more like mean? Like, he goes, oh yeah, no problem, you know. And so when I hear it, I go like, man, we, you know, I'm so grateful that we found the singer who could do the three-dimensional thing, a four-dimensional thing, act with octaves, you know, and believable. Yeah. Because his stuff is believable, you know, that's a bad. So we're talking about doing another album, all three of us, you know. Also talking about doing an album with Eric Clapton, Derek Trucks, and the Mexican about UFOs and Western music, kind of like Good, Bad, and the Ugly. No singles, just instrumentals. I told this to Eric, and he says, I'm in. I want to do that. You know, so we want to enter a place where it's Eric Clapton, Derek Trucks, and Santana doing soundtrack for spaghetti movies and UFOs.
How have you started on that yet? That sounds incredible.
Yeah, so you know, I got to submit the moods to them. You know, I just want to, you know, I don't want to tell anybody what to do or anything, but you know, you submit certain places, certain ponds that we can spawn.
How do you do that when you're setting a mood for somebody for what you want? I mean, do you send them words? Do you send them images? Do you send them other sounds or some combination therein?
I send them a mood, basically like an 8-bar mood. You know, you loop a part from something that you love. You know, there's a lot of grooves that I love from Miles Davis or The Doors, you know, or Eddie Kendricks, you know, or Marvin Gaye. We don't take the whole song. You just take certain 8 bars and you say, okay, jump on top of this and make it north, south, east, or west. And this 8 bars, man, you know, you're like, what?
I meant to say this earlier. I loved what you did with Whiter Shade of Pale. Totally reinvented that song. I mean, you and Steve Winwood. I mean, Steve Winwood's one of my favorite vocalists ever. I love what you did with that track. It's one of my favorite tracks on the album. It sounds so great.
Thank you for saying that. You know, it's really impressive to me that I requested him specifically. I said, hey, Stevie, I hear you singing Whiter Shade of Pale and playing your organ. But I want us to do it like African, Cuban, Puerto Rican, Guajira. Really sexy, sexy, sexy. Sex. You know, like, and he was like, first he wouldn't look at me. He just kept looking at Gary Clark. We were on stage at Hyde Park in front of 90,000 people with Eric. You know? And he wouldn't look at me. And finally, when he did hear it, he was like, Carlos, I hear it. I hear exactly what you're saying. Yes. So we call our brother Naira Michael Walden, and he helped us make the bed, you know. That's a very sexy, sexy song and makes a woman really happy.
That is an amazing, I mean, it totally reinvented it. It's like hearing it for the first time. It's so great. Oh, I love what you did with that. I mean, so many amazing tracks on the album. I mean, I guess here's a broader metaphysical question. Do you find yourself making better music with people that you have a personal connection with? Or does that not really have anything to do with it? Can you bond musically even though you've never met them before and it's just something that happens chemically in the moment when you have your instruments?
You know, this is a very important question because I am not wrestling with that, but I'm crystallizing it. There's a lot of knowing now that I'm entering without leaving the body, the fifth dimension, and the way I pursue everything. So then I'm aware that we really are all one. However, I'm still having a difficulty sharing music with someone who's deep as a spoon, self-absorbed, egotistical, and there's no room in the room for both of us or in this planet. So people like that, I can't share because I can tell, you know, if somebody is not feeling absoluteness, he's just feeling me. It was like music. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, si, do. Music. Ego. Me. I can't play with them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anything like that, then I respect it, but I will not be in the room with that kind of frequency.
Oh, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, what was it like being back with Rob Thomas? I know you have a relationship that goes back quite a while. Was that like, you know, the old expression, just like riding a bike again? How'd that feel?
We're riding something. I don't know if it's a bike. but it's fun, you know. I got a call. So I was telling you, listen, on Supernatural, Smooth was the last song. On Blessings and Miracles, Move was the last song that was submitted. Again, you know, it just came out of the ether, and Rob Thomas says, hey, you know, American authors, and I were writing the song together, and we pretty much completed it, and we want to know if you want to play guitar on it. I go, oh, I'm very grateful and honored. Thanks for keeping me in mind. Send it. Let me check it out. So sure enough, here comes that seventh wave again, you know, and we both get to ride. I love the metaphor of being a surfer that rides the wave past the beach, all the way to the lobby, all the way to the parking lot, you know. And it feels like we did it again, or something did it again through us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's such an incredible track. Are you guys close outside of the studio? Do you guys talk a lot when you're not working on music together?
Yes, we do. Marisol and my wife, Cindy, they're very close. And so Rob and I, we constantly, just exchange ideas, ideals, and, you know, we have fun discovering the things that uplift us and motivates us and inspires us.
Do you feel that being curious is a crucial part of being a musician? I feel like there's so much emphasis on where to put your hands on the instrument, and I feel like being curious isn't something that's discussed enough.
Yes, what you call curious, I call it thirsty for adventure.
You know, thirsty, I like yours better.
Yeah, thirst for adventure, to dive into the unknown and unpredictability with enthusiasm. That keeps you young, really, really young. Enthusiasm. That word people should teach in schools, music schools, you know, or any school, university, or institution. Without enthusiasm, you're just sucking up air, like my teacher used to say. You know, you should occupy space and sucking air, man. So enthusiasm is something that we need, not only at church, but in the streets. Enthusiasm. Thank you.
That's a beautiful sentiment. I know this last year and a half, actually coming up on 2 years now, has been a really transformative time for a lot of people. Has it taught you anything new about yourself the last year and a half of kind of being more still, I suppose?
It taught me that with discipline, again, and devotion, I can acquire balance, equilibrium, and confidence to a whole other level beyond being 74 years old. I don't have to walk like I'm 74 years old. I don't have to think like I'm 74 years old. And so what I learned is that I have within me a light spirit soul that is very, very vibrant with divinity. And I'm able to do the impossible. What's the impossible? You know, Jesus, apparently, Lord Jesus created alchemy, like from water to wine. You know, the greatest alchemy and one of the most impossible things to do is to go from fear to joy, from miserable misery to victory, you know? And so that's what I learned. When people were in incubation, I learned to master my thoughts to work for me, not for me to work for them. I got a lot closer to my subconscious than my predictable monkey and donkey. They're really very predictable and pathetic, pretty much, you know, because they always get in trouble because they insist on going towards a misery ditch and, mm-hmm. and thinking like a victim. And I find that boring, you know. I want the seven-year-old child that is still accessing, retaining purity and innocence. Thank you so much. I think we're at a place where we want to just say that I'm very, very grateful for you taking the time to invite me to be in your show. And we do invite people to, how do they say, may the heavens open up and the angels bless each and every one with the deep awareness of your own light. There it is. The deep awareness of your own light. There it is. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. You're an inspiration to us all. It has been such a joy and an honor speaking to you. Thank you very much. Bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio or other fantastic shows, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.